What a blessing it is to be here this morning with everyone. I want to cover a few things before we get started. I first want to apologize. I've got some sort of congestion going on, but thankfully I think I'm on the upswing of it. Most of it's almost gone, so just bear with me as I speak to you this morning. It might sound a little bit congested or might have to cough or snort a little bit, but we'll get through it this morning. And also want to say a special thanks to the visitors who are here, some family that is here as well this morning, some of my family. I'm very thankful for them being here. And also I want to say thank you for the kind words, the gifts, and the love cards that you have given me and Michaela as we are about to start our journey of marriage with one another. I believe it's 12 days now. We'll make sure I get that right. So I need to remember that. That'll be bad if I don't. So, but that's where I'm going to lead us this morning, is the preparation for marriage that me and Michaela are making. The preparations that we have started making and are nearing the end, thankfully. And there's a lot that goes into it, a lot more than I realized that went into it. Now, when I say that, all of you older people here, and when I say older people, mainly just people who have been married or are married right now, I welcome your laughs. It's okay. It's all right. I'm a little bit ignorant to this. This is my first time being married. So you can laugh at me if I say some things that just make you chuckle that, oh, why didn't you realize that? So I want us to think about this idea of preparing for marriage. And so where we're going this morning is, first off, I want us to look at what is involved with being prepared for the wedding, being prepared for marriage. And secondly, marriage and the responsibilities that come with it. And thirdly, that we are married to Christ. That's a big one. And number four, how are we responding to the preparation of being married to Christ? So what is involved with being prepared for marriage? Okay, so we first have the wedding. So we think about the time. We think about the place of where it's at. Decorations. You think about the attire. Many other things that go into that. I've got 3 o'clock drilled into my mind. I know what time it's supposed to be at. We know where the place is. And we've had lots of people working to make the venue into a beautiful place for us to get married. You think about food. You think about drinks. You know, that's something I didn't consider. We've got these people coming. Well, if it's for a long time, they're probably going to get hungry. They're probably going to get thirsty. We need those things to provide for them. And that's part of preparations. And also, in that preparation, not only just for the wedding, but the house. And this is when I welcome your laughs. I've got bills that I have to think about to be paid. You know, food, drinks, the groceries. You know, I put mattress on there because of a specific point that I'm referring to. But just briefly, I get so excited with finding deals. And I see on the side of the road just a couple weeks ago, this really nice leather couch. I mean, it was in perfect condition. And I'm like, that's perfect. I've always wanted leather. I love leather. Michaela doesn't like it as much as me. So I stop, and I get it. And I send her the picture later, obviously, and asked her if that was okay. But it was one of those things that I'm like, I'm looking at all these little things, these deals, these, okay, yeah, I want this. Well, I think this would look good. And then I go to the bedroom in our townhouse, and I see I don't even have a mattress. We don't have a mattress. We don't have anything to sleep on. I guess we could sleep on the couch. But my focus was something else. It wasn't these necessary things that needed to take, that were a priority. Internet, etc. Many different things here. It's just things I didn't think about. Also, with planning for the honeymoon, I'm planning these things, and yet when I started planning a couple months ago, I didn't even have a house or a place to rent in mind. Michaela's like, where are we going to come back to and live? Just things like that. Just things like that that I just did not realize in preparing for marriage. We covered the, so these are all preparations that go with the marriage. And it's serious because I'm about to share my life with somebody. So we think about the aspect of marriage now. You know, there is distinction between, okay, preparing for the wedding, preparing for a house to live in, to live comfortably. But I want us to talk about something now that's more important than that. And you're like, whoa, I mean, even myself, whoa, what do you mean more important than having a house to live in? Well, if I'm choosing to share my life with someone, I want to make sure we're compatible. I want to make sure our focus is on the same things. That is what's important. Part of that preparation was marriage counseling. We went through marriage counseling. Not necessarily we had any specific problems. We wanted to be prepared to share a life with each other. Vows that we were that we are preparing to make. Promises there. Marriage certificate. That's something else that's very important. But these are important responsibilities that need to be taken care of. And these specific responsibilities, talking about marriage, is the most important thing here. So we've got all of these things here. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we've got the bride. I want to talk about the bride first in this aspect of marriage, okay? I've got most all verses up here, so feel free to turn in your Bible if you want to. These will come from the Christian Standard Bible. This is where I'm following along this morning. But in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10, it says, a woman came to meet him dressed like a prostitute, having a hidden agenda. In Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 12, we're going to come back here in a minute. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Proverbs 31, you can. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. In preparation for being married, I am choosing my bride of who I want to marry. Is it someone who, well, maybe dresses like a prostitute here? And I want to pause just a minute briefly, brethren, just and make this point. These are things that are challenging, and I'm not just trying to challenge you all, me challenge you. This is God, through His Word, challenging us. This was a challenge for me to prepare a sermon like this because these are things I'm going through right now. It is a challenge, and so I'm not really picking on anyone in particular. If anyone, I'm picking on myself because it is a challenge for us to think about these things. So I'm choosing, okay, now we can resume. I am choosing a wife. Which one is? I'm choosing a bride. Is it someone, do I want someone to dress in a certain way that maybe is not reflecting that she's my bride? Or do I want to find a bride of noble character? Find someone more precious than jewels, not lacking anything good, rewarding me with good all the days of her life. That is what I need to be looking for in a bride. And especially appreciating her beauty. And in the wedding, she is going to be dressed. I know she will. And she's going to be dressed modestly. She has a dress that makes her look beautiful. But what I need to be focused on is not just her outward beauty, but her inward beauty. Beauty on the inside. And I'm going to come back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. But it says, don't let your beauty consist of outward things, like elaborate hairstyles, wearing gold, jewelry, or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I went fast here, sorry. So, we think about that now. What is, what about the bridegroom here? What about the bridegroom? We talked about the bride. Now, let's focus on the bridegroom. And say that's important. In Proverbs chapter 31, we look at, if you've already turned there, you've got this, I need to be there too. Proverbs chapter 31. So words of Lemuel. And it's his mother that has taught him these things. I'm thankful that my mom has taught me things to look for, to what to look for in a bride. So it's things that his mother has taught him. The verse that popped up there. That's okay. I want to look at verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9 of chapter 31 of Proverbs says, "Speak up for those who have no voice, for the justice of all who are dispossessed. Speak up, judge righteously, and defend the cause of the oppressed and needy." Deuteronomy 32 verse 21 talks about the jealousy of the bride. What is the bridegroom like? Well, he speaks up for his family. He takes that fatherly role, a husband role, to speak up, to provide, and to protect. That was something that my mother stressed to me. You are the man. Provide and protect your wife. Us women, this is what she says, us women, we like to be protected. We like to be provided for, to be taken care of. That was drilled into my mind. And so that's what I looked for in a bride. And so also we think about our relationship. This goes right along with our marriage and preparing for that. You think about the covenant. What is that covenant? A covenant we make on the wedding day that it's a bond, it's an agreement between us, establishing a relationship. We think about a promise with conditions back in the Old Testament, all the way to Abraham. When he established that covenant, it was promises with conditions, the vows that we make to each other. Me and Michaela are making a covenant that I belong to her and she belongs to me. It's nobody else. It's her and it's me. And think about, first, I need to be who I am on my own, that and someone who loves the Lord first. She, on her own, needs to be someone who loves the Lord first. And then, complimenting each other, I learned that from a good friend, complimenting each other in our first marriage being to Christ. We are first married to Christ, and then we complement and we help each other in those things. Does that make sense? It's something that when it came to my attention, I was like, that's right. I feel like a lot of people now in the world sees it as it's we rely on each other and Christ is our second marriage. That's how the world sees it. But Christ is our first marriage. And then we focus on our physical marriage here. So in making that point, marriage to Christ, our preparations to being married to Christ. That is the more important marriage. Now, I don't want to neglect the marriage that me and Michaela are about to have, the wedding day and then us being married. I don't want to neglect that. That is very important. But this is more important, brethren. Our marriage to Christ, our relationship with Christ, that is the most important marriage that we have. We talked a lot about our upcoming marriage. And so let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. And we're going to read both of these up here. "Indeed, your husband is your maker. His name is the Lord of armies, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of the whole earth." However, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20. "However, as a woman may betray her lover, so you have betrayed me, house of Israel. This is the Lord's declaration." So what are these verses saying here? Well, God is just not our maker. He's not our creator, but he's also our husband. He is our bridegroom. You know, that is a concept that can be challenging and has been challenging for me. Is not only is my creator, not only is he my maker, but I have this covenant with Christ. I have this bond with him, this relationship with him. I am married to him. Not only did he create me, but we're married. You think also in Ephesians chapter 5, we read, thank you, Liam, for reading verse 30 through 33, but backing up at verse 25 through 27, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. The church is married to Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. So think about our marriage to Him. Okay? So let's kind of go through these steps again when we're thinking about our physical marriage. What about the wedding? What about the wedding? When we come to worship every Sunday morning, we're remembering the bridegroom. We're remembering it's kind of like His own wedding in and of itself. We're remembering Jesus, the covenant we made with Him. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, I just put the last verses 5 through 10. But this is the parable of the 10 virgins. And we remember that, a lot of us remember that pretty well. But 5 are not ready, and 5 are. And the bridegroom is coming. The groom is coming to meet him. And some of them that weren't ready, they had to leave and go get oil to light their lamps. And the ones who were ready, who had extra oil, stayed when the groom came. Those were the ones that were received. They were prepared. Excuse me. They were prepared. So when we come together on the first day of the week, when we remember His death, His burial, His resurrection, we're also remembering something else. Our covenant, our marriage to Christ. We remember that. The relationship that we have with Him, the covenant we made with Him. That's our wedding, is to remember our bridegroom. So we think about in this marriage, and we think about the wedding. So what about when and where? What is supplied? Well, I'm really talking about the building here. I'm talking about when are we supposed to meet? When, where? What Bible class are we going to? You know, these are challenging things for me. I know I'm not going to name any names, but a few of you guys, I know, I mean, you know who you are, but a lot of you like to golf, just like I do. And there was one occasion a couple months ago when Mikhail and I were talking. It was getting later on a Friday night, and I was going to go home. I told her I needed to leave early to get some rest because I had to wake up early for tea time that we had on Saturday morning. And I told her the tea time. I guess it was 8 or 9 o'clock. I don't remember. And I was like, yeah, I need to go and get some rest because I need to get up around, you know, 5 o'clock, you know, 5:30. She's like, why do you have to get up so early? It's like, well, I need to be there, you know, like 7 o'clock or so. 7 o'clock? I thought you said the tea time was at 9. I was like, well, listen, we're going to have to, I had to explain it to her, but I want to be there with plenty of time to prepare to get my game face on when I'm about to go and play golf. I need that time to prepare. We don't walk up on the tee box at 8:59 when our tee time is at 9 o'clock. At least I try not to. But that's something that I had to explain to her. Well, I'm preparing for that. Well, that's something important to me. Well, what about this? What about our marriage to Christ? What about the wedding when we meet on Sunday mornings? Are we here with plenty of time? You know, I'm guilty of that. But are we here in plenty of time to prepare? Maybe to get our game face on, mentally prepare for what's... We're about to remember the covenant we made with Christ. You know, what is supplied here? Well, we've got all of the lighting, the benches, everything that's supplied here. We are so blessed that we have all these things provided to us. But think about it, that costs something. That's a cost. These things aren't free. Again, that's something I had to realize too in preparing for sharing a life with someone and moving out on my own is, well, I can't have 2-day shipping. Well, just because I have the Amazon app, surely I have 2-day shipping. No, you have to pay for 2-day shipping. You have to pay for Amazon Prime. Just things like that, that there's costs that are involved. And here, there are so many things that take place behind the scenes. There are so many things that are being paid for behind the scenes that we don't realize. And what a blessing that is. And they cost something. We need to give. Well, me and Michaela have been given so many good gifts, so many gift cards, so many things. We also want to share that with others, help others as well to maybe start their marriage in the future. So it's just something, it's something to think about. Very important. And just like weddings, you know, seeming more like a festival more like a party, more just focused on fun, because some that I've been to recently have been that way. Worship can also be turned into the same thing as well. It can be not focused on why are we here and more of just supplying everything. And you're like, well, you just went back on your point. No, I just want us to focus on the more important thing here. It's nice to have lighting. It's nice to have a place to sit. It's nice to have heat and air and a controlled temperature. But why are we really here? What is the focus of why we're here? These are important. So where's our priority? Well, we think about also the attire of the wedding. And we think about the attire. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 11 through 13, this was the king who hosted this banquet, this wedding banquet. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him up hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So one of the guests weren't dressed appropriately. And this is a twofold point. It's not just about modesty here. It's about, it also comes with it, how is he dressed for the wedding here? How is he dressed? Well, it wasn't how the host wanted, so he threw him out. You know, I need to think about, what time am I putting into my dress for Sunday mornings? When we come before our bridegroom, how much time am I putting into that? Excuse me. How much time am I putting into that when I'm preparing to remember our bridegroom? The purity that comes with it. You've got Ephesians chapter 5. We read that. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16, "But as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Then you've got Revelation chapter 19, 7 through 9, talking again about this, the dress, "Let us be glad, rejoice, give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has prepared herself. She was then given fine linen to wear, bright and pure." It's this idea of pureness. I don't know. I haven't seen the dress that Michaela is wearing, but I'm assuming that it's white. And it's a sign of purity. It's a sign to show that she has been pure waiting for this day. And also, let's think about 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a great passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. I'm not going to read all of it, but you can see this on the screen. Christ is jealous for us. He is jealous for us. We don't want to leave Christ for some other bridegroom, do we? We are His bride. When I make that covenant and that decision with Michaela, we are tied together. We are bonded for life. She doesn't want me to leave her for somebody else, and I don't want her to leave me for someone else. And so thinking about it and deciding who we're going to marry and the bride, why would I choose someone who doesn't share the same goals, share the same values, share the same spiritual strength, and that we're both going in the same direction and not like a tug of war, that we're pulling against each other in the opposite way? I want to make sure I choose someone that's going the same direction as me. That's important. And so we think about the covenant as well. We think about the covenant. All that signifies that in the covenant that me and Michaela are making to each other. And we talked about the focus of weddings sometimes. Sometimes it's a party and a festival. I'm not saying that's wrong, because we're going to celebrate as well at our wedding for getting married together. That's a happy thing. But what I'm afraid happens too many times is our primary focus is on just the aspect of partying and having fun. And we neglect to remember the reason we're there in the first place. Genesis chapter 2, this is a familiar passage, but I just put in verse 22 through 24, it's 18 through 24, but it's talking about God making woman from man, and he joins them together. In verse 24, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother, bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh." in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. We are able to have that wedding. Michaela and I are able to get married because of God, because He created that. Praise be to God. Thanks be to Him for that beautiful, beautiful thing for man and woman to become one flesh. And I feel like sometimes we forget that the reason we have the wedding, the reason we're at the wedding in the first place, is to remember what God has made and bonded together. That is what we need to be remembering at weddings. Again, I'm not trying to knock all of the parties and celebrations that go on at wedding. That's great. We're going to have that. But the point I want to make is, where is our focus when we have weddings? What are we remembering? We remember what Christ did for us to bring us together. And again, I'm not going to read all of this, but in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, another great passage here. Let me read this last verse in verse 16. This will be helpful. If he hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God of Israel, he covers his garment with injustice, says the Lord of armies. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully and do not act treacherously. So we've seen God's character. He is a jealous God through the Old Testament. He wants his bride to be pure. He has purified himself for his bride. Something that I've told Michaela from when we were, as my granddad said, engaged to be engaged, and when we were engaged, something we have talked about was when we are married and when we're discussing marriage details, I told her, divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. Jesus gives the exceptions, but first, he mentions God brought man and woman together, one man and one woman. We're not going to talk about divorce for very long. I just want to make the point. What we have talked about is divorce is not an option. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to joke about it because it's serious. Our marriage to Christ, when we think about our talk and our language, maybe if we're joking about our priorities is, well, you know, I eat, sleep, football, breathe, golf, however the saying goes. And then Christ is second. I don't want to be guilty of that. Christ is my first love. But the first marriage we have is to Christ. And then all these things come after it. Divorce is not an option. We need to remember our covenant with Christ and what we made, the covenant we made with Him. I have those two verses down as well. And think about, He doesn't want us to be with anyone else. We belong to Him. It's an exclusive relationship. So, I ask again, is the wedding just to have fun, or is it to remember the one who made it possible for us to have that wedding in the first place? So how are we responding to the preparation of being married to Christ? Our final one that we will conclude with. You think about the wedding. What efforts are we putting in when we come together to remember our bridegroom on Sunday mornings? What kind of effort are we putting into that? Now, I found another picture that exemplifies the church. Mr. Allen last week did a great job of segueing into this. The people, God, He adds those to His church. So what effort are we putting in when we come together on Sunday mornings? The marriage, what does that look like? What does our relationship look like with Christ in that marriage? It's an ongoing relationship. It's an active relationship, a continual marriage here. And then Jesus wants that relationship with His bride. But it's up to His bride to decide if she wants that relationship or not. Jesus wants us to have a relationship with us. So, this is where we've been. What's involved with being prepared, marriage and the responsibilities that come with it, that we are married to Christ, our relationship is to Him first, and how are we responding to that marriage? Do you want to be married to Christ this morning? Our brother in Christ, Luke Daly, just recently married Christ, and that's a beautiful thing to celebrate. But now, you have embarked on an ongoing relationship with Christ. You are married to Him now. There's going to be highs and lows, but you need to remember the covenant you made with Him. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, we talked about, Cody mentioned this in our Bible class on Sunday, last Sunday morning, I believe it was, is our relationship, there's no marriage in heaven is what God says in chapter 22, verse 30 of Matthew. Our marriage on this earth, yes, is important. He stresses that. But what about our marriage to Christ? That's the more important marriage. That's the first marriage. And then that will just, it's a chain reaction, that will just help our marriage with our spouse. So if you want to be married to Christ this morning, we bid you and invite you come this morning as we stand and sing.